Hey everybody, this is Mona Lisa from Futurepreneurs Black Entrepreneur Startup Program funded by RBC. You're listening to the Startup and Prosper podcast, the show that helps budding entrepreneurs on their quest to have a successful business. We wanted to create an inclusive outlet where people from everywhere can ultimately feel heard and understood while providing a special spotlight on the plight and current state of Black entrepreneurship. For the next short hour, let us be a source of inspiration and empowerment on your journey to reaching your greatest potential. Welcome to another episode of Startup and Prosper, a podcast by Futurepreneur. I am your host, Mona Lisa Prosper. I'm the director of Futurepreneur's Black Entrepreneur Startup Program funded by RBC. Today, we're talking about entrepreneurship being an alternative career path with Cities Tahiri, who keeps on finding interesting and innovative ways to integrate community, creativity, and art in all his entrepreneurial endeavors, creating his own path. We'll discuss how people in our community plagued by societal barriers have created their own opportunities. From upping a side hustle, environments of communities, second chances, we're going to try to cover it all. Thank you for joining us, Cities. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we like to start this podcast with sort of an elevator pitch. So we just ask our guests to present themselves. So, you know, very quickly, who is Cities Tahiri?
Ooh, I'm not good with elevator pitches, but I mean, I'm just a regular guy from the neighborhood who figured out a way to be creative and kind of enjoy and, you know, redefine what community work looks like.
I love that. Redefine what community work looks like. And so yeah, to set the table for everybody listening, you're the founder or co-founder of La Rue Inspire, and there are also numerous other initiatives under the La Rue Inspire umbrella. You have Cartier's Home, Health Our Way, Leaders Basketball, Thinking Out Loud. I think I covered them all. So is there one missing?
No. Not to talk.
Okay, perfect. So could you sort of tell us what is La Rue Inspire, and then quickly what are the other initiatives, and we'll go much deeper through the episode for sure.
I mean, we're just a collective of creatives who just wanted to find like different ways again of engaging with the community. Our main focus is community building and raising awareness on social issues we feel like impact our community specifically. And yeah, we do that through whether it's artistic projects, whether it's short films, whether it's events, whether it's community initiatives. So yeah, we have a lot of things that we do, and that's kind of the beauty of what you were saying and why our formula is good, because we don't stick to one thing, you know, and we have the capabilities of actually accomplishing multiple different things, which then opens the community's mind to endless possibility of what they can do on their own, you know.
Yeah, and it's nice because through what you enjoy, your strengths, your passions, you're able to put it all together, build your own way, all while uplifting the communities around you. So that's very powerful. Yeah. So yeah.
A good strength is to know other people's strengths. And I feel like that's probably one of my strengths. And, you know, I got a lot of good people around me that do a lot of things better than me. So working with people is just the best way to, you know, have your best foot forward.
Yeah. And a lot of entrepreneurs say that, right? It's about who you surround yourself with, and also being able to work with people who are quote unquote smarter than you, are better than you in different things, so that all together it's a very strong business, strong core, strong group. So yeah, so that's really nice. So if I understand correctly, Cartier's Home is a clothing brand?
Yeah, so that's like the flagship brand to La Rue Inspire. Because the work that we do is the community work is with La Rue Inspire, but we just wanted something that we wear that really represents that and that could really propel the message behind La Rue Inspire even further. But, you know, kind of just lighten the tone a little bit too. You know, not everything's got to be super revolutionary. So creating a brand to spread the message felt like, you know, the best way to move forward with that.
Nice. And Health Our Way, I think, inspires the youth and everybody to be active and healthy. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's really what it is. We grow up, especially entrepreneurs, one already in our community, once you're out of youth sports, you kind of fall off with doing sports, period, as you get older. On top of that, once you become an entrepreneur, you're so focused on working, grinding, because, you know, your success depends on you, that sometimes you don't pay attention to taking care of yourself in the process. So we just kind of wanted to create something where people got together at least one day a week and just got active together and know that you have a support system of people that, you know, are there for you, struggling with you, and, you know, people of all ages and all stages, and no matter what they look like and what shape they're in, we all just get together and struggle together for that hour or 2 hours a week, you know?
Yeah, super, super important. Leaders basketball.
Yeah, that's actually, it used to be, it's been a basketball program in LaSalle for a very, very long time. My son started playing basketball when he was 8. He's about to be 16 in like 10 days.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I was just around basketball a lot, and I started learning more and more about basketball culture in general. But, I mean, a few things happened where the program might not have been at its strongest, and we kind of partnered together with my strengths and their strengths already being established to kind of just add extra value to the program. And in return, of course, I mean, extra value to the youth that are a part of the program.
That's amazing. So it's always, 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 always about the community. And I love that, because I feel like in turn, you and all of your partners and everybody involved become models, right? And become figures of, just representation for the youth. And it's important to sort of have these role models around for everybody to see what is possible and to keep on growing stronger as a community. So I salute you all for the work that you do. It's extremely, extremely important.
Thank you.
And thinking out loud. Now that's really inspirational. To walk us through how that came about and what it is.
I mean, in the beginning, a few friends of mine were telling me to be more vocal on my socials. That's actually like the birth of it. So I didn't want to just like start talking on my phone. I'm not very comfortable with doing that. So again, just because things have to be done a little more creatively with us. So we had a meeting about how we could, you know, put something out that's, yes, tells a story, but also is creatively at a certain standard. So I was the one kind of, I did Thinking Out Loud for a year just myself. You know, it was just me talking to the camera. Well, friends of mine speaking to me, people on my team speaking to me. And over time, I just realized that as cool as that was, the real value is really in the people. And so many people have different stories and so many people have things to share. And at some point, like if you get a weekly clip from me, I'm going to run out of things to say as well. Like I'm not experiencing that much life, you know, on a weekly basis. So yeah, we just opened the door and the platform actually doesn't even have me on it at all anymore at this point, because I don't really want to be on it. It's really just about the people, and the people just, they get to share and they just get to sit down. The experience that you witness on the internet is one thing, but the experience for the human being that's sitting on that chair and, you know, having a conversation with us is, a lot of people will say, it's very therapeutic, you know, because it's very rare for somebody to just sit there and listen to you. You know, even in conversation, we often get interrupted because that's part of the conversation, as I speak, you speak. But in a Thinking Out Loud setting, we really just listen, you know. So on top of the fact that we encourage people to speak and it's a platform for people to speak, the flip side to that is we really encourage people to listen, because, you know, once you start listening to people, you start realizing how much you have in common with people and how much people are going through the same things you're going through, you know. So that's what that platform is.
Nice. And for the people listening, we'll make sure to link all of the social media handles, and you'll be able to see the videos. They're all in black and white, you know, a nice focus on the person's face, and it's lots of interesting and inspiring stories. So everybody will be able to get inspired through that page.
I gotta get you on there.
Sorry?
So I got to get you on there.
With pleasure. With pleasure. I'd love that. So the first segment of the podcast, it's called In the Now. So we just like to, before we get into the core of the subject of today, just gonna go over a few very quick questions and topics. So there's a lot of, as we know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs in Canada, and entrepreneurs sometimes are seen as sort of the lungs of a community and society, right? You create jobs, you bring value to different neighborhoods and so on. And there was a recent study by BDC in 2021, by Startup Canada. And there are currently about 3.5 million entrepreneurs in Canada. And we have a very strong and vibrant ecosystem here. I was curious to know, with there's lots of buzz around entrepreneurship in general, there has always been. What do you think, what is the role of entrepreneurs in society according to you?
Ooh, the role. I'm not too sure what the role is, but I will say that it does seem like there's more and more entrepreneurs. It does seem like more and more people rather work for themselves or just create an environment where they are happy with the work that's being put out, you know? And I think what's important in the process of entrepreneurship to, you know, not make it look so glorious all the time. And as much as, you know, I'm very pro entrepreneurship, I know how hard it is, you know? And I talk about how hard it is as often as I can, not to stray people away from it, but to let people know that once they come into this field, they really got to be committed, you know? So as much as it sounds good that you become an entrepreneur, you create jobs and this and that, in reality, that means you got to sacrifice yourself often to be able to do that, you know? So, you know, I think entrepreneurs, again, it depends. If you're an entrepreneur just for yourself, then create the best situation for yourself. That's your role, is to create an ecosystem for yourself that you're very satisfied with and a lifestyle that you're happy with versus going to give your time to somebody else. But if you're an entrepreneur and your goal is to create jobs and create opportunities and so on and so forth, I mean, that's a leadership job. So you got to make sure that you're a good leader in the process, because it's not really just about making money and making sure other people get money, but how do people feel when they get money around you, you know? How do people feel when they come and work for you or with you, you know? So to me, those are like key things in entrepreneurship and that people should really think of in the process of wanting to get into this, you know?
And so if I can summarize, from what you're saying, entrepreneurs sort of have a duty to keep it real, right? So make sure that even if you're there and you're being a role model for others, that you show how also hard entrepreneurship can be and talk about different failures, because there are failures every step of the way. It's a journey. When you look at maps or drawings about entrepreneurship, it's always a roller coaster, so many ups and downs. So it's important to show every side of it, all while uplifting others. And if you do have employees, it's important to be a good leader, and all of these elements come into play. Now, in the past 2 years, there has been a lot of, I want to say, attention, awakening regarding marginalized communities, Black communities, BIPOC-owned businesses, and Black businesses as a whole. And it's nice because there's a lot more work being done in closing the opportunity gap, right? That is very big in Canada, in the US, and everywhere in the world. I like to see the positive in things, right? It's nice that for once, everything that we've been saying for so long, people are listening and trying to be active in changing things. I'm curious to know, in your I want to say, community or around you, do you see that reflected in any way? Is the youth more interested in entrepreneurship and sees it more as a possibility? Is there an impact, do you think, on the ground and the perception and in how different elements are being done, like our program and other things?
To be honest, I don't know how much programming and stuff, or if the conversation is really moving forward like that, if there's actually being the gaps being bridged at all. If it is, it's because these kids are smarter than we were and they have access to more things. I really don't want to give credit to, let's say, the powers to be that are doing the work. I don't think that's what it is, because most of the systems that are in place are still the exact same systems, and the kids are still going through the exact same revolving door. So I don't want to give them credit. These kids are intelligent. They want more. They see more. And I think that's one thing for us growing up. You know, yes, you have the internet, but you still got to search for what you want to search for on the internet. So your mind is as open as what you see. And these kids see more than we did, you know? So the next step for them is they got to experience more. Right now they see a lot, so they think they could do it all, but they got to experience more to actually do it all. But yeah, I know in these conversations, it's always easy to say there's more because we're in a certain position and we see more, that the youth see all this or benefit from this. They don't. If they, it's very, very limited amount of people or groups that are really pushing these kids to go towards entrepreneurship or even any creative field or any field even for themselves. At the end of the day, the kids are still going to school. School is still teaching them the same thing. Most kids that are student athletes, as much as they're not good in school, it's still going to be pushed. Get your grades up. You know, no one's ever telling you maybe school's not it, so the grades aren't good because the environment's not good. What else would you like to do, you know? So I know this from a perspective of somebody that's working in the community, that's been in the community, that was a kid that really wasn't necessarily that good in school. And also, I have a 16-year-old that I'm, well, soon to be 16-year-old, that I'm very honest and real about, you know? And I got to know him, and I got to let him be him in the process. And I think a lot of times when it comes to our youth, we don't let them be them. So we kind of want to box them in and put them on a path that we feel is right. But, and that's what the system does. So us, we shouldn't do that on top of what they're going through already. So I don't know if that answered your question, because I said a lot, but I just felt like it needed to be said.
No, it's a great answer. And it's interesting what you're saying, right? Because on one side, when you're, I want to say, in it and working and on changing things and so on, and maybe less on the ground and on the receiving end of it, you have one perspective. And it's interesting that you're, you know, the elements that you mentioned are very, very interesting, and it's food for thought, right? There's change takes time. It means there's a lot more work to be done. We're at the beginning. I'm staying hopeful that things will evolve, but it's nice that you, it's nice what you said. You set the record straight, and you made sure to open our eyes, and for everybody out there that's working towards changing and breaking down barriers. Well, I mean, it's one step, but there's a lot more work to be done, and we know that, right? So it's about moving forward. So now we're going to get into the grind, right? The core of the subject. I feel like there's so many gems already that have been said, but we're going to get to the thick of it right now. So how did you become an entrepreneur, and did you face any barriers?
I mean, I've faced barriers till this day. And the reality is, just to piggyback off what I said before, I was in school. I was decent in school, too. It's not like I was failing left and right. Like, I was decent in school. I went all the way to university, and it just wasn't for me. Like, I knew I was dragging something that wasn't for me, you know? Even going to work, just certain work environments just wasn't for me, you know? I knew I could do better, you know, for myself. So I feel like a lot of youth have that. They want better. So you know, we just got to create situations where they see that the possibilities are real. For me, I think I'm the type to just jump into things. You know, I tried a lot of things. I failed a lot, like a lot. And I tried so many things till one felt like it was the real thing for me. And it felt like it fit my personality. And I was selling t-shirts and selling clothes. You know, I started selling t-shirts on my trunk. So once I started going with that and I got a little bit of momentum, and again, this things that I learned in school might have helped me a little bit, but like one thing that I do encourage all youth to stay in school is it's a great place to meet new people. And if there's one thing that I learned is, man, there's a lot of people and I'm good at speaking to these people and connecting with these people, and I enjoy that. So, and you meet different people from different walks of life, you know? So that's a super positive. And it's like a little version of what the world is like once you get past high school, you know, because high school is so niche and you're in this bubble and it's all messy. But yeah, so that was me, man. I failed a lot. I tried a lot of things, and selling t-shirts was it. It kind of caught on for me. And in the process, I was still like, I wasn't this person really pro community that my life was on dedicated to it, but this is the human I've been for a while. So nonetheless, I wanted always better for me, and I always wanted better for my friends, no matter what we did or what they did or whatever the case was. So, you know, I just grew into this person, but the seed was always there, you know?
Interesting. So how did you get from selling t-shirts out of your trunk to everything that you're doing now? You mentioned that you failed a lot. You like to jump into things. You try things because that's how you grow and that's how you learn. But was there, I don't know, somebody or something or anything that kind of inspired you or propelled you to develop things differently? How did you move forward in all of that?
To be honest, in regards to inspiration, like, I'm inspired by everyone that's around me, you know, and they could be in a whole different field, and I could take a little bit from their life that inspires me, and I could take a little bit from someone else's life that inspires me, you know. So I just knew that I had to move forward with things if this was something that I wanted to do. So, I mean, one of the most important things is to educate yourself. That's like number one in entrepreneurship, because you're literally going into a field that you might know some stuff about, but if you want to get to the next level, clearly there's more information at the next level that you weren't aware of at the level that you're at. So I just educated myself in the process. I got around people that, like I said, know more than me, you know. I've been around people that work harder than me, that I've seen work really hard, grind, go to school, play basketball, have two jobs. Like, I was around a lot of people that did a lot of good things. So I just took a little bit from everybody to kind of shape the entrepreneur and the human I wanted to be. And like, the part of that's inside of me that was like the people person always, that came from my family and stuff. You know, my parents are like revolutionaries. That's why we're in this country in the first place. You know, my mom's been teaching me all these things about the people and the power to the people and all that forever. So yeah, you know, that's just, all this kind of just made me into this. And yeah, education and growth. You got to want to grow, and you got to want to learn and criticize, be criticized, you know.
Being open to criticism is, yeah, it's not easy for everybody.
It's not, but again, when you take time to learn yourself in the process, criticism isn't so bad, because you know who you are in the process. So whatever other people say, it doesn't really matter. And that's something that I've been good at for a very long time. I could ignore the noise, you know? I could ignore what people have to say, you know? So, yeah.
And what would you say about, like, how does one's environment play a role in the outcome of that individual? You touched a bit on that, but I'd like to go a bit deeper.
I mean, environment is huge. Environment might be the biggest thing. To be honest, there's no going around the environment, you know. That's why the ones that make it out of certain particular environments we, you know, look at in such high regards, because they beat something that essentially they weren't supposed to beat, you know? And like, my environment outside was one thing, you know, but my environment in the household was another thing, you know? I was lucky, like I said, I still went to school, so I got to experience new people and new conversations that kind of broadened my horizons to what life can be, you know? And even if the environment sometimes gets tricky, I was lucky enough to go back home to a foundation that was solid, you know? Even if the environment might have got tricky, I still had no choice but to wake up and go to class. Like, that wasn't an option for me. So no matter what, you know, I had a balance in my environment, and that's what's key, you know? So environment is the strongest thing. And with La Rivière, I think the important thing for us is, hey, we know these environments exist. We know these kids go through what they go through. We just want to create micro environments for them where they could come and tap in and see like new things and experience new things and see new ways of doing things, you know, and just open their eyes to things. Again, like I said, the internet is there. They see a lot more, but again, you see what you see, you know, and often what we see is still part of the same algorithm of things that we know, you know. So it's not like we're getting informed on another level, you know, we're just getting more and more information about the same thing. So environment is everything.
Futurepreneur's Black Entrepreneur Startup Program is funded by RBC with additional loan financing from BDC. For more information, head over to futurepreneur.ca/BESP. For you, you know, there's always creativity, community, art, business, and everything that you do. How did the community part get into everything? And also, how did you end up being able to, I want to say, build that strategy, right? There's Cartier's Home, and then you have all these other initiatives under it, but it all ties up together. And I feel like a lot of times there are so many entrepreneurs or inspiring entrepreneurs or individuals that have all these different interests and strengths and don't know how to properly put them together, profit off of it, and how to make it all work. And it seems, I know for sure it wasn't a straight line for you, but it seems like you've found a way to make it so look, you know, effortless and work seamlessly all together. But I don't know how you got to, you know, to that point. And if you could share a little bit with us.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Okay, I mean, I guess that's well, how I got into, like, I grew up going to community centers and stuff. So that's kind of, that was been my environment. You know, we played sports or whatever we did, we hung out. You know, community was a huge thing for me. I grew up in Côte d'Ivoire, so most multicultural neighborhood in the city, you know, and I just had a lot of friends from a lot of different places, and you know, everyone's story was different, and we connected on so many different levels. We had the same struggle. It was, you know, it was beautiful, you know. And when you're going through that, when you're young, you don't know what struggles are, to be honest, because that's just the regular life, that's the norm, that's the lifestyle, you know. You don't know any better, so nothing seemed like an obstacle. It just seems like, okay, we're going through this, this is normal, then it's the next step, then it's the next step. Then, I mean, a lot of things happened. I start becoming an entrepreneur, you know, things kind of start rolling for me. I build a brand first before La Rivière and Cartier and all that. Things start working for me. In the process, I haven't changed again being the person that I am. So I'm still in the community, you know, but just not showing it so much, you know. I'm still trying to do things on the holidays. I'm still trying to talk to my friends from the neighborhood to get them to change their ways and so on and so forth. You know, there's still a lot of things going on. And eventually I gave birth to La Rivière when I was more and more around the youth and basketball, because I started realizing that, okay, so when it comes to this stuff, nothing's really changed. You know, it's still the same thing where these kids, they're in love with the sport. They're in love with being around each other. But they might not necessarily be in love with school. And, you know, and there's not enough mentors that understand that. There's not enough mentors that embrace these kids for not being good students or potentially even being troublemakers. Like, most of the youth I get along with, I mean, some of them are fantastic kids. I love these kids to death. But some of them are troublemakers, you know, by other people's standards, you know. But I love these kids even more because I know the fire that they have in them, you know. So that's kind of how La Renaissance started. I'm like, yo, so many of these kids are getting lost in this, you know, in this pipeline of things. They're, no one's giving them the attention they need. So what can I create? Like, they see me already in a certain light because they know me. They've kind of seen my journey. They've seen me build a brand. They see me around the people they see me around. So I have a certain level of respect with these youth. So how can I use that respect for a positive? So that's really what it was. And that's how it started to really project by project until it became what it became.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And what advice would you give to other aspiring entrepreneurs, but mostly the youth that you're already connecting with and working with in so many ways that are trying to find their way and don't feel like they fit into the mold, right, that they're supposed to fit into? And a lot of them are lost. Not a lot of them have access to people like you, organizations like you, as you know. So what advice would you give them?
Honestly, to be themselves, but to see themselves in a higher regard than they already do. I think we want our children to be confident. We want our youth to be confident, but we don't instill that confidence in them if they're not doing what we're telling them to do. So it's important, I think, that we really let them be them, but encourage them to really be the best them, you know? Because sometimes if they don't fit the mold, the attitude of them being them really becomes part of my language, the I don't give a F. Mm-hmm. Attitude, you know, which is to me a totally fair attitude, because if it feels like nobody's paying attention to you or you're not getting the attention you feel you need or no one's really understanding you, then you feel like, well, I don't give it, you know. So I think it's important that if no one's paying attention to them, that they shouldn't have the I don't give a F attitude. They really should care about themselves in the process a lot more and really take the time to learn themselves and learn and educate themselves on other things that they do want to do and ignore other people if they don't feel like people believe in them, you know? Because, yeah, I realize how much, in reality, I mean, all of us as human beings, we really just want love, you know? And at the end of the day, some of these youth, it's just a lack of love and real love and real confidence that they need to feel, real attention that they need. There's just a lack of that. And, yeah, I mean, hey, and reach out to me if you have to. But, you know, everybody needs a support system. And I feel like a lot of our youth don't have a support system. So the best thing to do if you feel like you don't have one is build yourself up, you know, and take care of yourself physically. Take care of yourself. Take care of your health. Take care of your mental, you know, read, you know, all things that, although I'm not a huge, like, yeah, go to school kind of guy, but, you know, educate yourself. That's still necessary, you know. So that's the most important for the youth is don't give up on themselves and don't have like a fake sense of confidence that, you know, I don't care. I'm such and such. You know? You could build real confidence and actually be happy with who you are, you know.
It's nice. That's beautiful. Would you, and maybe it's fine if you don't want to share, but I'm still going to try and get the information. Is there... like a dream, do you have what's your ultimate goal or dream or mission or something that you'd like to, that you're on your way of accomplishing through La Rue Inspire or other businesses or endeavors?
I mean, I got a few plans. I got a few plans. I mean, just the ultimate goal in the end for me is to have a place where everything that I speak of is there for the next generation. You know, they don't have to go anywhere else and look for it. You know you have a real support system. You know you have resources at your disposal. You know you have good people. That's the one thing with community. There's a lot of people that are fantastic in community work that really love this and dedicate their time to it. And there's a lot of people that just need a job. So they might not have the leadership skills, you know, to do this. They might not have even figured out what they want to do, but we put them in a position where they got to mentor kids. It makes no sense, you know? But so I'm trying to have this ultimate, you know, place where all this is in one location and kids can have access to whatever they need to pursue whatever dream they want. That's the ultimate goal.
Love that. And if you could speak to yourself at 16, is there anything you'd like to, if you, you know, if you could talk, go back in time, is there something that you'd like to tell your 16-year-old self?
I don't know. To be honest, because again, we had like, I mean, you know, you grow up, your parents tell you so many good things. Like everything I would tell somebody, my mama told me already, you know? So I just didn't listen because I just felt like you don't get it, you know? Because there was a disconnect only on certain levels. So it seemed like there was a disconnect on many levels, but it just wasn't the case. Let's say, for example, an immigrant parent that comes to the country and a refugee parent that comes to the country, things are very unstable, you know? So what they know for you to be successful is stability. Like, okay, enough of this surviving. Go make something stable happen and go work, you know? And go get a good job and so on and so forth. But just like school wasn't my thing. So that's where our disconnect was, you know? And mommy, you're not outside. Like, my mom's super open-minded. She loved all my friends from an early age, but you know, it's a different set of problems outside, you know? You wouldn't understand that, you know? So I think the information was always there. I think if somebody like me would have spoke to me, it would have been a little bit different because I felt like, okay, well, this is somebody I look up to already. Outside of course, I look up to my parents. They do everything for me. But, you know, I really look up to such and such because they've accomplished such and such and they're from where I'm from. Then it feels like, okay, shit, yes, I could take your advice, pardon my language. But That's the only thing. The advice was there. It's just who gave you the advice sometimes was a little more, you know, we didn't have too many examples around us that could give us the kind of advice that I could give now and that, let's say, somebody younger might listen to, you know?
And that's why the work you do is so important, right? Because you're that voice and that person for so many young people out there. So but just you said something very interesting, and I know a lot of people in the audience are going to relate to that, sort of bridging the gap with your parents and them understanding the quote unquote risks that you're taking and the way, you know, going into entrepreneurship. How did you, I'm going to say, build that trust, or how did you overcome that lack of understanding maybe that you gotten in the beginning of what you were doing?
I mean, it's particular for me. I'm in my family, like my mom's super open-minded. She's always been, she's an artist, you know? So as much as she was telling me what she was telling me, like, let's say my mom used to tell me, don't get tattoos, but like her best friend in school had more tattoos than I have now, you know? So I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. You know, you're telling me opposite things of I'm seeing, and you really appreciate this human, and he's super tatted up, you know? So, you know, just things that she knew that she was just trying to save me from certain things, but she was so open-minded that if I broke the rules, but they were logical, it wouldn't be so bad, you know? So she came along faster, and she would come outside to, let's say, if I had an event, or she knew my friends more than, let's say, for example, my dad did. My dad came along a little later, you know? He worked super hard. We actually had this conversation as a family lately, and I've said that if he wasn't the rock, like a lot of times we criticize him for not being so open-minded like us, but if he wasn't the foundation, some of our like wild way of doing things, we wouldn't have nothing to fall back on. We would have just fell, you know, flat on the floor. So, you know, he dedicated hours and hours just to working and making sure everything was under control, you know, while as an artist, sometimes you're out of control. And, you know, I'm a little bit of mix of both of them. I'm out of control and I'm a little hard-headed and they're both hard-headed. So I could hear a no. I'll still go do what I got to do. So eventually it was just kind of me having to prove to them. But our relationship stayed healthy thanks to them, because a lot of parents wouldn't keep that relationship healthy if they felt like their parents, their child wasn't listening to them, you know? So I continuously thank them for that. But yeah, so I had to break rules pretty much, but they were open-minded and they kind of, you know, supported me through breaking all the rules.
That's good. That's good.
And that essentially is real love. And to me, that's really what, when I talk community stuff, that's what I talk about, is, man, these kids could mess up, but you have to love them regardless. That's real love. You know, thinking everything is perfect, that's not real love. Like, that's just an imagination that you have, that you think things are going to go the way you want them to go. No, real love is making sure you're there for your people, for your community, for your family, no matter what goes on. And, you know, that my parents instilled that in me, especially my mother. And, you know, and that's kind of the foundation of everything that I do.
That's nice. Sounds like a beautiful family bond. I love hearing stories like that. Yeah. So. Yeah, because I know a lot of, when we talk about entrepreneurship within marginalized communities, BIPOC communities, there's a lot of, I'm going to use the term resistance from parents, mm-hmm. because as you said, a lot of them immigrated here for a better life for their family. They want stability. And so they're very risk averse. And sometimes they don't understand why their children want to go in certain entrepreneurial direction. And there's also the element of lack of access to resources and networks and mentors. And that's when people like you and your organization come in and are able to help these kids, young people see the light and see things in different ways that maybe in their little family nucleus, it's not as present. So yeah, anyways, it's interesting for you to mention that. And
to be honest, I'm pretty lucky because, you know, I'm still a older individual at this point. I got a 16-year-old. So the youth that see these things and know that certain things are possibilities is a plus. But the fact that the parents are around and see a different version of what their kids could look up to, you know, firsthand is important, you know? So it's, they see me, they respect me, they know, you know, I'm there for their kids or whatever, and they also see that I might not be the typical parent at the basketball game. I might not have created the typical summer camp for their youth, you know? I might not have created, you know, just, I don't, might not dress like the typical parent, you know? But yeah, that's it. And the conversations with the youth might be a little different than the typical parent, you know? I have a different relationship with these kids, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the whole point is to open people's minds in the process. And I was lucky enough, like I said, to have a lot of open-minded people around me. So I'm just trying to do my part.
Yeah, and you're giving it back. So that's I know a lot of people listening are going to be inspired by everything. And, you know, like we said, change takes time. We all have a part to play in change, and every little thing matters. We just have to be patient and keep on going. You said lots of interesting and inspiring things, but if I can, one thing that really stuck with me is the fact that you want to everybody out there and the youth listening that might not see themselves or are trying to find their way, it's about building that self-confidence within themselves, working on themselves, loving themselves, and keep on pushing forward. And I think that's something that's valuable for everybody, right? Because if we keep on relying on the outside or on other things to bring us value or to uplift us. It's gonna, it doesn't build strong foundations for ourselves. So, yeah, and I love that. If I may, I love that you are very unapologetic of who you are, and the things that you do. You just push. You keep, you know, going forward, and the importance of education in any form that that can be, if it's school or your books or any other things. So I love, yeah, I love that. And I think these are things that we need to all keep in mind and to, yeah, these are the main things I think to get out of that, of that episode, to keep on pushing, keep on going and believing in ourselves. And it's, yeah, even if you don't fit into the mold, find your own way and build your own path.
I mean, essentially, as much as there's nothing new under the sun, there's not going to be a mold that is created that's different. We're all going to fit within a certain mold in some sense, you know? But you just got to figure out what shape you want that to be, where that shape can differ versus someone else, you know? And you said, I think, a couple times, how everyone got to do their part for change to happen. And often we might feel like that means external, you know, that means that what can I do for other people to create change? When in reality, a lot of the change that we want to see would happen if people just worked internal. Like, I don't need somebody to go be active in the community necessarily to make a difference. If they work on themselves and how they feel, then how they interact will be different. Already they've taken a step forward towards being a better person in their community, and thus, you know, everyone could do the same and we'd be in a much better position. So even when it comes to community, well, like I said, often we look out, but it really all starts within.
And a lot of people disregard that part, right? You go straight into the external when there's so much that could be done internally.
Because everything we consume, most of it is all from the outside. So it's tough when you feel like you have to go get it, where you feel like you have to be successful, where you feel like everyone else is doing something, and if I take a break, maybe I'm not. You know, all those things is pressures that I've dealt with. I'm speaking from a place of having gone through that, and now I might be on the other side of it, you know? So it's not easy, but you learn as you go. But you got to be ready to learn.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cities. This was such an inspiring and fun conversation. Thank you for your time. For everybody listening, make sure to follow. We'll make sure to tag all of these accounts. But there's La Rue Inspire, Cartier is Home, Health Our Way, Leaders Basketball, Thinking Out Loud, and also your personal Instagram page, which is... Satis Tahiri. There you go. So make sure to follow and to stay in touch and stay put on whatever other events or initiatives that you're gonna put forward. Thank you, Satis. Have a great day.
Thank you, and I gotta get you on Thinking Out Loud soon.
With pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you. You have just listened to Futurepreneur's Startup and Prosper podcast with your host, Mona Lisa. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on all streaming platforms. And for more information on Futurepreneur's Black Entrepreneur Startup Program funded by RBC, make sure to head over to futurepreneur.ca/BESP.